Luke chapter 22, verse 31, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. And then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Let's pray. Amen. So we've been kind of doing a little unofficial series. We've kind of looked at ways that people fall. We looked at Jonah, who just flat out ran from God. God called him. He said, go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I'm going to Tarshish. And we see redemption. We see where Jonah turned around. We've looked at discouragement in the life of Elijah. And there's one more. Oh, okay. Almost. We see discouragement in the life of Elijah. We see Elijah, who had been on the mountaintop and who had been there with the 450 prophets of Baal, and he had offered the challenge to them. They had been worshiping Baal in the land, and God had sent a drought upon the land, and God had him away for a number of years hiding, and he told him to go to Ahab. And he goes up on the mountaintop, and they build up the two altars, and Elijah tells them, you cry out to your God and see if he answers, and I'll cry out to my God. I'm giving you the brief version. But they get up there, and the prophets of Baal, they call out to Baal, and they cut themselves, and they scream, and they holler, and they go all day long, and nothing happens. Elijah gets up there and puts the water. I won't preach the whole thing again, I promise. But I get excited about it. Elijah puts the water on the altar, and he puts the water on the wood, something that was very precious at that time. And God brings down the fire from heaven and lights up the altar, even with it soaking wet. So a great victory for Elijah up on that mountaintop. Yet when he comes down from the mountaintop and he sees all these people turn to God, they say, the Lord, he is God. And he sees this great revival taking place. And, you know, some great things can happen in our lives, but then that very next minute, something can bring us down. And as he's walking away and he's thinking, there was Ahab there, and he watched the 450 prophets of Baal slain, it may be now that all the people turn to God. And then he gets a message from the messenger. It tells him, Jezebel has promised to kill you. And he gets discouraged. He says, I'm not better than my fathers. He goes to Juniper Junction. So we're looking at different ways that people fall out of fellowship with God. So in this, we see Peter's denial and restoration. We see that he's warned. It said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Here we are at the Last Supper, and Jesus is warning Simon Peter. Now, Simon Peter, he's one of those exciting guys. He's one of those men of action. He was a fisherman. He was strong. He wasn't the kind to sit around and philosophize about what you ought to do. Peter was the one, and when Jesus said, who do you think that I am? He said, thou art the Christ. He had no doubt about it. Peter was the one that, when they were in the storm, and they saw Jesus out on the water walking, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. And out of the ones in the boat, the Lord said, come. Peter was the one that got out of that boat and was walking on the water with Jesus in faith. But then his mind ran in a little bit ahead. His body ran a little bit ahead of his mind, because it said when he saw that the winds were boisterous, he began to sink. But he cried out, Lord, save me. So Peter loves the Lord. Peter was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was part of the inner circle. Matthew 17:1 tells us, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, and I love this part, because he, like I said, he's a man of action. He gets excited. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He heard the voice of God speaking to him. Peter talked about the hearing that voice. He talked about it over in 2 Peter. And he said, yet we have a more sure word of prophecy here in the Bible, the scripture. We have a more sure word of prophecy than hearing the very words of God. Sometimes being a person of action, it's a good thing. Being willing to jump out, being willing to jump ahead. God wants something for you, or you think you know what God's will. It's good to jump out. It's good to be willing to go and do what God wants you to do, to be obedient. But then there's also some other things in our lives that God may need to just kind of round off the edges. You know, we get a little sharp, we get a little pointed. God just kind of needs to round us off a little bit. And here they are at the Last Supper, and Jesus tells him, Simon, Simon. He has to talk to him twice. He's a little distracted there. He wants him to hear what he's about to say to him. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know, in our own Christian lives, there's times ahead of us where God kind of allows us to be sifted a little bit. We had a member pray for patience this week. Y'all ever prayed for patience? It's like an inside joke, isn't it? Yeah. It's like, well, but let me tell you something. When you did you learn some patience? You know, there's trials that we go through, but they help us. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to go through trials. There's been trials in our lives. There's been times when we can only look up. But here Jesus is warning him. He's trying to get his attention. He said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus knows the plan. He knows what's up ahead, just like he does in our lives. When we're going through tribulation, or he knows that there's tribulation ahead, he knows that there's a plan within that. So he was distracted and he was prayed for. Now, prayer doesn't erase the trial that's coming. Prayer doesn't do away with it. You know, I know there's a lot of speaking nowadays. You know, if you just have faith and if you're in God's will and everything will go right. That's not in my Bible. Now, I read the King James, so it may be in another one, but it's just not in my Bible. There were storms. The disciples were in God's will when they began rowing across. Jesus told them, row to the other side. I'll meet you over there. And they're in that, they're rowing. It didn't stay sunny the whole trip. The clouds began to darken. The waves were boisterous. They worked all night long trying to get across. And they were in the storm. And I tell you what, we go through storms. Prayer doesn't erase the trial. It doesn't erase the storm. Peter had a trial ahead of him, and Jesus was warning him. The trial was coming, and Peter wasn't going to avoid it, but Jesus' words must have come back to Peter later. Here in this night, and he said unto him, verse number 33, and this is Peter talking, he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Peter, if I can share this, Peter's got a little different vision of things. We look back in the Bible, we have hindsight. We look back and we see Jesus Christ, our Lord. We see the humble servant. We see the one who was led as a lamb to the slaughter and opened not his mouth. We see all of that. But Peter was with Jesus, and Peter was a Jew. And the Jews were looking for the coming of the Lord. They were looking for the return of the kingdom to Israel. They were under Roman rule and they were bound by that, but they were looking for the kingdom to return. When they thought of a kingdom, the whole Bible is about kingdoms. When they thought of a kingdom, they thought of that imminent return, or not return. They thought of that imminent kingdom, the restoration of the Jews in Israel and the building of the kingdom. We look back and we can see that things were kind of put on hold for a little while, but Peter was looking forward to that. He said, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Peter anticipated a battle and he wasn't afraid of it. Whatever you do, Lord, I'm with you. Verse 34, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. I don't know that Peter heard him that night. I think Peter was saying, I hear you, Lord. Do you remember being young? And some of you still are. Do you remember being hard-headed? You remember somebody telling you something and you said, I got it. And then you go right and do what they said, warn you against. And here Peter is. He's bound up with that. He said in verse 35, and then Jesus goes on talking. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? That was when Jesus had sent the disciples out to heal people, to heal the sick. And he said, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. They remembered. Their mind goes back to when they went out. Jesus said to take nothing with you. To rely on the people. And if you would get rejected, to shake the dust off your shoes and leave that house. Lack ye anything? And they said nothing. So they had past victories there. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, pay attention here, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. I think that's the next thing Peter heard. When he's looking for the return, when he's looking for the kingdom to be built, and he's looking for a battle, and he doesn't hear Jesus say anything about the cock crowing or denying him, he hears the battle. He hears sword. He hears blah, 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 sword. Y'all get me on that? Is that okay to say that? I mean, that's not a mistranslation there. Y'all look kind of tight. All right. And then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this is written, that yes, must be accomplished, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So Peter heard this, and he had his pride. Sometimes I get ahead of my paper. Y'all hang on to me. So Peter was ready to fight, and he's hearing about the sword. And then let's read on. Verse 39, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. And then we find out that the disciples were sleeping when he came out. And when he rose up from prayer and he was come to his disciples, verse 45, he found them sleeping for sorrow and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. But Jesus said unto him, and then we have the betrayal to Judas. John, there we go. And then verse number 48, but Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. They were ready for battle. Do you understand this? And Peter was the one. John chapter 18 tells us. Then he asked them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou gavest me, I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Peter was ready with his sword. He had his own ideas. Let me bring this down to earth a little bit. We get our own ideas about what to do for the Lord. people get excited about doing something for the Lord, and they say, this is the direction we'll go. You know, in the first sermon, we saw losing Jesus, getting busy for the Lord, busy, busy, busy. And we get caught up in those things and doing those things, yet we can still lose our fellowship with Christ. We can be so caught up with the business operation. Do you know how much a church can operate like a business? I've had to learn taxes. Lord forbid. But it's things that you have to do in order to keep going. And we can make our plans. We can make our five-year plan. And Brother Charlie is not here today, but, you know, he's got a saying, man plans and God laughs. But, you know, our idea of what God wants isn't always the idea that God wants for us. And here Peter was looking for a battle. He was ready. And when he brings out his sword and he cuts off that servant's ear, and then he's rebuked, in a sense, by Jesus. And not only that, but Jesus undoes what he just did. Peter was ready for a battle, but that wasn't what the Lord wanted. And we see Peter begin to withdraw. And then the Bible tells us that Peter followed afar off. They took Jesus, and they took him for the trial. And then here's Peter standing there, and he doesn't know what to do now. If it's not a battle, I don't know what to do. And it can happen to you. You get to moving in the direction that you thought God wanted, and everything changes. Lord, I thought this is what you wanted. I thought this is what you wanted me to do for you. But none of this is working out, and I don't understand. And it said Peter followed afar off, but not only that, they were warming a fire. Look over in verse 54. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's office, talking about Jesus, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man also was with him. Remember, Peter said, I'll never deny you. But here, everything's changed. Peter doesn't realize what's going on. He has no idea. All he can think of is, I just got to stay out of trouble. I want to see what happens to my Lord. I don't want them taking me away. And he denies him. The certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. He's also warming himself by the world's fire. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Verse 58, and after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Bible tells us that in other places that Peter cursed. He was so vehement in his denial that he cursed. And then immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. Immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And then verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Let me put this in a little bit of an illustration. I was working on a pump one time. The man told me on the phone, well, you know, we'd roll leads to check things. I don't mean to break the mood here. I'm just giving you an illustration and not hearing. Maybe you'll understand. And you roll the leads to test the pump. And I said, you want me to roll the leads? It was a little different system wired. And he said, no, don't do that. I didn't hear it because that's all I was thinking. I ended up rolling the leads, and I ended up letting out the smoke. Y'all know what it is to let the smoke out? When you're working on a piece of equipment, you never want to let the smoke out because then it doesn't work anymore. But that's the way I imagine Peter. When the Lord spake, he didn't hear him. But then when that cock crowed, and he sees the Lord turn to him, all of the stuff that's going on, There's Peter in the crowd. There's Jesus in the crowd. There's people everywhere. There's a lot of excitement going on. And out of that whole crowd, the Lord turns and looks at him right at that very moment. And instantly those words come back to him. And he realizes that thing that he was so proud of, that pride that he had in his ability, that pride that he had and that he was following his Savior no matter what. He was following Jesus Christ, and he had just denied his Lord and Savior. And it hurt him. And it says he ran off and wept. It's a hurtful thing. And there's people that get to go on for the Lord and they get discouraged and say, well, it just didn't work out. I don't care whether you're preaching, leading a church. I don't care whether you're leading a Sunday school. I don't care whether you're trying to help somebody. All of a sudden, there you are. You've denied the Lord. You've fallen out. Jesus, he heard Jesus' words in Matthew 10:33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. In Luke 22:62, it tells us that Peter went out and wept bitterly. But I'm glad, and I know Peter's glad, that we serve a God of second chances. I'm glad that God knows our frame. He knows that we're but dust. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 20. Just turn to 21. We know that Peter never stopped loving the Lord. They were discouraged. They'd seen Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. They'd seen his body taken down, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And they had no idea. The disciples had no idea what to do. And then when the word comes back that the body was gone, Peter was there racing with John to see what had happened to their Lord. In John chapter 21, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed him himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of the disciples. And listen to verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we go also go with thee. You know, that discouragement, that loss of fellowship, you tend to just go back to what you know. A preacher that loses a church, he might just go back to doing what he used to do. Or somebody that, you make it sound like I'm trying to lose my church. I'm not trying to say that. I'm thinking of illustrations. But, you know, when you've been trying to serve the Lord, you're trying to do something for the Lord, and you find out that's not what he wants. You don't know what else to do. You go back to doing what you know to do. And here's Peter. He'd been called from fishing. He says, I go a-fishing. That's what I know to do. I know the water. I know how to pull the net in. I understand all of this. I don't understand what's happening over here. He says, I go a-fishing. And Peter was a leader. They all followed him. They said, we go also with thee. And then verse number 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And verse number 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that was John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he ran away. Do y'all have that in your Bible? Dude, you look mad. No, It said, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship. So when Peter hears that it's Jesus, he doesn't worry about anything. All he wants to do is be with Jesus. You know, there came a point in my life, and I've given this testimony before, but I got saved at 11 years old. And wasn't in church, and got further and further away from God. Got in the Navy, did all the things you do in the Navy, and even more. And at 27, people came by our house and knocked and visited, and, oh, yeah, I'm saved, you know, because I got saved when I was 11. But began to get back into church, and there's a long story there. But getting back into church and reach a point of conflict and say, did God really save me? Am I still saved? Now, I know now, once you're saved, God keeps you. You're saved by Jesus Christ. You either trust in Christ or you don't. And I reached that point of conflict, and I was worried. I was sitting under preaching. It's like, well, if you don't know for sure, bless God, if you don't know the date and the time and the seat you were sitting in, you're not saved. You better make sure. You better work out your own salvation. You better work that out, because you don't want to die and go to hell. And no, I didn't. And look back on the past and look back on the things I've done and say, Lord, how could you forgive somebody for that? And it would be so easy to say, Lord, I accept you as my Savior and I put all that under the blood. But I couldn't, because I know. I look back and I had even called the woman, or the young lady, she's a woman, but called her and found out. I said, you know, I remember going to Texas City. I remember going to the revival meeting with you. I remember sitting up there in the football stadium, and I remember crying my eyes out knowing I was going to hell. And I remember walking down there, and I remember, and she said, and then you prayed with me to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Before I could even say, I can't remember saying a prayer. I can't remember it. And then as soon as she said that, I remembered. I remembered seeing the man up there, and he was working people through like they had a number. And I didn't want to be a number, because I knew this was important. I knew accepting Jesus Christ as my... I knew. I didn't want to go to hell, and I wanted to be sure this wasn't just some number thing. I didn't want to be another number. And I remember the change that took place. I remember desiring to know the things of God, but just not quite learning them. That's why discipleship's so important to me. I mean, you that have been here, y'all know it. You've heard me. But that's why discipleship's so... You get saved... Learn about God. Learn about His Word. Because that's the time. Because the world is surrounding you. And once the world gets a hold of you, the things of God begin to look this small. Amen. And you can get out there in the world and you can just, I know I'm saved, but you have no assurance of salvation. It's when you get in God's Word. It's when you read it. That's when, and when you're doing God's will, that's you have the feeling. You have the assurance of salvation because you know what He did for you. You know that there's nothing you could have done to get saved. You know that there's nothing you can do to stay saved. It's all done by the power of God. And I think Peter, he just reached this point. And I reached this point in my life, and I said, Lord, if I have to put a pin in this date, Lord, I accept you as my Savior, but I can't deny. I can't deny the sin. I can't deny what went on. And I can't deny the relief when I got saved that I knew I wasn't going to hell. And I realized, Lord, I just had to trust you for what you did. And that's the point. When you realize, you know, we sing Jesus paid it all to him I owe. But so many people, you know, they sing Jesus paid it all, I got to work paying back. No, we work because we love him. We don't work to stay saved. We don't work to get saved. We work because we love him. We serve him because we love him. And here's Peter. He's out there. He's gone back to doing what he knows to do. But when he sees Jesus, that boat means nothing. That was just something that was all I knew to do. But there's Jesus, and I'm going to get direction from him. And it's when you turn your life over to him, your trust over to him. And basically, Peter, I think, was saying when he got out there, Lord, well, let me sum it up. Like Brother Grady used to say, Brother Grady would be up there preaching. He was my pastor in Georgia. And he'd say, well, if Miss Hazel, that's his wife, if Miss Hazel ever leaves me, I told her she's going to have to make room because I'm coming with her. And I think that's where Peter was. It's just, Lord, I don't know where I stand, but I want to be with you no matter what. And then there's forgiveness. He never lost his love for Jesus in spite of his denial. And then verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. I think he was pointing to the fish that he was working for. He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Three times, kind of walking him back through those denials. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. He gave him a commission. There's a job for you, Peter. Feed the sheep. And when I read 1 and 2 Peter, I see a man that learned from that time. When we've been in Sunday school, we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, talking about the seven things to add to your faith. I think temperance was one that Peter learned kind of hard. And patience, godliness, some of those things came easy. But I think that temperance, I think that's where the Lord knocked the edges off of it. And he realized, you know, it's not me. It's you, Lord. You know that I love you. There's nothing I can do for you. Just tell me what you want me to do. If you'll stand while she plays.